Radhisham, Ujjal Nilamani, before we begin verse 42 and 3, I thought we could have a review because for some these might be old terms and for some others they may be new terms to describe more of the guna or the qualities of Krishna, this Anukulya Nayak and Dakshin and Dristan Shatta. And someone gave me a book. I have it on soft copy, but someone gave me this book, Alankar Goshtuba, by Kavi Karnapur. Of course, it's mostly about Sanskrit poetics and all these things. But there's some nice references. So I was just glancing through the content, and I said, oh, look at that. So it's also talking about these same subjects, obviously, because it's about Radha and Krishna mostly. So just as a review, I thought I would read a review again. The definitions, I came up with some more terms that maybe can catch our memory banks so we can remember these. As we read, these things will come to our mind. So he gives some nice one-word explanations of the heroes. So to summarize all four of them, the Anukulya, of course, everyone agrees that means the faithful, favorable lover, Anukul. That's pretty obvious. Number two is called the clever, Dakshin Nayak. Basically, that's the best word, is he's clever. And number three, Kavi Karnapur in his Sanskrit, he says, the drishta is a saucy, bold lover. And the shatta is a sly, deceitful lover. So the faithful lover, the clever lover, the saucy, bold lover, and the sly, deceitful lover. Do you know any people like that? So out of these four, which one do you choose? So then if we look at the faithful one, and these are particular, he's a romantic hero, and he shows, and one verse in Gita Govinda, which we'll read, Krishna shows all four of these in one shloka, according to Jayadeva Goswami. And there's another shloka in Alankar Koshtuba. He explains how also Krishna exhibits all four within a short time. So we'll get to those. So this is the hero, the Nayak, the hero. Krishna is a Nayak. Faithful, favorable lover, Anukul. Anukul Nayak. This hero gives up the desire for other attractive maidens because he's extremely attracted to only one Nayak, like Ram towards Sita and Krishna towards Radha. And then he says, Alankar Koshtub, he says, the Anukul Nayak is a chaste lover. In other words, favorable, faithful, chaste, they all go pretty much together. So that, of course, would be the most desirable type to have in an ordinary moral religious relationship of man and woman. And he gives a very nice example. In other words, he only has one woman. And he gives a breakdown like that. Kavi Karnapur says that Anukulya only has one woman. And then he says the Dakshin, he has many, many, he's equally disposed towards many lovers. And then the Drishta is just, he doesn't give any one word for him. He's saucy and bold. He gets caught red-handed and he says, he lies, it's not like this. So look at the example from Alankar Koshtub of the Anukul, Krishna is the Anukul, favorable, faithful lover. And that's in the chapter 5. We can see this chapter 5, verse 84, where he says, a long verse, I just read it in English. It's 584. This is Radharani. So here, Radharani, it's very nice. Radharani is speaking to her closest confidant in terms of spiritual matters. Romantic matters. And then that's Lalita Sakhi, of course. Because she's the guru of Radharani and the advisor. So she's telling one day she met with Lalita and said, Lalita, I want to describe to you how faithful and chaste and loyal my lover Sri Krishna is. Oh, Lalita, Krishna never goes to visit any other woman unless I ask him to. But this almost pains my heart because those women are upset over it. He always takes pleasure in my courtyard and my bower. And when I'm not there, when I'm away from him, he's always looking down the path, looking down the footpath. Where is my Radha? Where is my Radha? When he meets me, he never has a bad mood. And even in his dreams, Krishna is Satrishna. Krishna is Satrishna for me. He says, Swapne, Swapne Nagatavan Krishna Satrishna Mayi. Swapne, even in his dreams, he doesn't go away. He doesn't leave my memory. My vision, my pastimes, my form doesn't, never disappears from his dreams. Yet Krishna is so much Trishna. Krishna Satrishna Mayi. He's made of thirst. So this is very nice. It sounds like the ideal lover every woman would like to have. And then we have the Dakshin, that although he is enamored by one woman, he also meets with many others. That's why we say he's clever. He's equally disposed towards many heroines. This is the Dakshin. Dakshin, we might say submissive, but he's not really, because Dakshin in one sense means submissive, but he's not submissive, he's clever. He's equally disposed towards many lady loves. He does not give respect and submissive love for his previous beloved, even when he gives up, when he gives her up to meet another one. So he's meeting with one, but he's still remembering the previous one. We discussed that. So then Alankar Kostuba, he says like this, Anukul has only one woman, and the Dakshin has affection for all women. So this is a very nice way, and it's mentioned like that, and this is in Alankar Kostuba, chapter 5, or section 5. Verse 83, affection for all women. So then he gives an example of that. And he says here, how amazing. In other words, someone is describing, I don't know who, but someone is describing Krishna's Dakshin Nayak Bhav, that he loves all the women. He's very clever because whenever he's with someone, he's, oh, I love you so much. And he's just thinking of the previous one he was with. You might say that Dakshin Nayak is kind of an irrepressible flirt, whatever. So it's how amazing is the resting of the dark blue effulgence? I don't know about this translation so much, but Shamanke Charano Kala Uru Palake Shirsham Surika Angalo. So in this verse, Dakshin, he's showing that first he said that the Dakshin Nayak is like Krishna, is someone that loves many women and he has affection for all ladies. So he said, Krishna's holding his feet on the lap of Shama Sakhi, and he's resting his head on the thigh of Kala Sakhi. And Sureka, that's very interesting, Sureka. Sureka means she has very good fingernails, or makes very good, Reka makes very good lines on Krishna's chest. Sureka, Reka means lines, so it's one of Krishna's gopis. So when she, out of loving bliss, cuts into his broad, beautiful chest, I guess she leaves the best looking remnants on his chest, real clean, like some people paint dots on the eyes of the deity and little flowers, and it looks a little sloppy because they're not so neat. But then some are so precision, looks like it was done by a computer or something. Just exact. each above the left eyebrow and the right eyebrow, every leaf and every flower is exactly at the same angle. Perfect balance. That's quite a talent. So she's Surekha. So Krishna's getting his head massaged, and his hair is straightened about by Surekha. And while he's lying with his head in Kala Sakhi's thigh, and Surekha's playing with his hair, and his feet are on the lap of another Sakhi. So now he has three Sakhis with him. And then this is only Krishna could do this. His eyes are looking at the arms of the beautiful Sakhi waving the chamara standing next to him. To try to envision this Dakshin Nayak romantic enjoyer. His head is on the lap of one Sakhi. His hair is being dressed by the beautiful fingers of another Sakhi. And his feet are being massaged by another Sakhi. And a fourth Sakhi is fanning with a chamara whisk. That's why we say, Bhaktaram Yagatapasam Sarvalokamesham in the Gita. If you want to have an example of Leela Tattva to describe the Tattva Vichara of Bhagavat Tattva, the ontology of Bhagavan, fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 29, defines the identity of the Supreme Being, God, the Absolute Controller. Bhaktaram Yagatapasam Sarvalokamesham. So Bhoktaram, he's the bogi, he's the supreme, transcendental, unlimited enjoyer. So this verse gives a nice example of it. Now, this is four gopi lovers with the Dakshin Nayak. Now the fifth one, his eyes are looking at the arms of this beautiful lotus stem arms of this gopi standing next to his improvised bed, which is the dust of Vrindavan as the mattress, and the thigh of a gopi as his pillow. And so, it's in the forest. This is forest lila, kunja lila, van bihar lila. So now, if that's not enough to keep him busy, then his ears, he's listening to some sweet, sweet mutterings in his ear by another gopi. So he's really engaging all of his senses, sense of touch and sense of sight and sense of everything. So he's listening, and then his fingers, and then with the fingers of his outstretched hand, he's holding the hand of another gopi while he's lying on the braj with his head on the lap of another gopi. So he reaches out his right hand, and that gopi puts some betel nut in his hand. And then it says that nestled next to him with her bosom pressing his chest is Kasturika, not the country of Costa Rica, but Kasturika. And then somehow on the other side is Chandravali, let's say pressing her bosom to the other side of his chest. So he's pretty busy here with Sakhi's fanning him and dressing his hair, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Krishna is in one small pastime. There's 8 different Sakhis attending to him and serving him and increasing his enjoyment. And this is the example that Kavi Karnapur, as I see over here, Srila Karnapura Kavi gives us an example of the Dakshin Nayak Sri Krishna. I don't think anyone can imitate that and pull it off successfully. Sure to be a war within 10 minutes. Terrible result. So this is the Dakshin Nayak. From the Alankar Kaushtubha, it's a review. He's a clever one disposed towards many heroines. So those were the two first heroes we covered, and they were relatively acceptable to everyone and tolerable. But then we got into the real juicy, exciting lovers, the Drishta and the Shatta. So we found a new word in this book, which I like even more. Because in one book it translates Drishta as the impertinent lover. So unless you're really good in English, and I'm not that good, I forget what it means. I didn't bother looking it up. But I saw here that these new translators, they translated Drishta as the saucy lover. You know that saucy? I don't even know. Probably no. Saucy, impertinent is actually a correct English word. Saucy is a slang word. Like, especially in ISKCON, they had the term, when you get rebuked or chastised by the senior, the temple commander, or someone chastises you or corrects you, or rebukes you, then you say, oh, I got the sauce. I got the sauce from the temple president. You never heard? Maybe that's, I mean, these are all American slang because ISKCON started there, so there's a whole new language in Russia, I guess. You have your own Russian terms to convey the same feelings of frustration or anxiety that we had in English. Burned out. What's the Russian equivalent of fried and burned out? Or those are universal slang terms. Everything comes into the movement. It gets distributed equally. All the good, all the bad. Crazy. So Drishta, he's very clever. He's impertinent. But saucy means that he's just too arrogant and bold and fearless. He'll lie through his teeth and smile at the same time. I love you so much. I wasn't with anyone else at all. What makes you think that? Don't you know how much I love you? And it's just, this is the Drishta. He's fearless and expert at lying, which means he's saucy, even though anyone can see that on his body the clear signs of his infidelity. The love signs are obvious on his body, yet he concocts a bogus alibi. And Kavi Karnapur says in 583.41, he says, such a Drishta Nayak lover is prone to commit offenses, but he doesn't worry about it. Sounds like some devotees I know. They're really prone, not only prone to, but they do it all the time. They don't worry about it. But someone is taking note of it all, and they're worrying about it, so the reaction will go. And even tells when in the Shastras, 3 days, 3 months, or 3 years, that the aparad fall. He lies to his beloved, even though she sees right through it. He feels no shame, even in pointing his finger and chastising his lover for even accusing him of such a dastardly deed as cheating on her. I dare you! How can you say that? This is the Drishta Nayak. So this added what I added to what we've heard already, which I thought was very valuable. And of course it is. It's from Kavi Karnapur, Alankar Kostuba. It really broadens the picture of the whole definition, which will hopefully settle in our minds and manifest when we read different exchanges and different heroic features that Krishna will show in all the various pastimes that we're always have been reading and will continue to read. The experience of the reading and memory and meditation and recollection would be much more deeper and meaningful and blissful if we understand and perceive all these quick changes, how Krishna quickly changes from this Nayak Bhav to that Nayak Bhav, which increases our knowledge of Krishna. We know Bhagavat Tattva, he's the creator. Or we know Kala Tattva, Karma Tattva, three modes of nature. And those are all glories and aspects of Krishna's greatness. But that's very important for the Sambandha platform of beginning devotion to establish the supremacy and identity of God so we have faith that Krishna exists. But ultimately there's a lot of other tattvas, Rasa Tattva and Prima Tattva, and these are also about the glories of Krishna in relation not to creation or not the sambandha of Krishna and creation or the jivas or time, but his loving relationships with these eternal parishads. So all those tattvas, which are related to the eternal loving relationships, they're called Lila Tattva, Dham Tattva, Prema Tattva, Rasa Tattva. And of course Shakti Tattva. But Shakti Tattva is also involved in Vaidhi Sadhana Sambandha discussions because we talk about the Shakti of the Prakriti of the material world and other Shaktis. the nine different Shaktis, internal and external Shaktis of Krishna, Antaranga, Bahiranga, Tatastha. But Shakti Tattva in the fullest expression brings us to Shakti, Sarva Shakti Mayi Radharani. And she has all the powers, not only the powers of material powers, which she delegates to Mahamaya and to Durga, but all the spiritual powers and spiritual love and ecstasy and bhavas. So all this rasa tattva, it seems complicated, but it's further hearing about the greatness and glories of Krishna, who is our prayojan, is the object of our lives. And so we want to know everything about him, because it increases our gratitude, our appreciation, our attachment, our love, and ultimately our bliss. Because all this transcendental knowledge of bhakti and all the different tattvas and aspects of Krishna, it moves us closer and closer to Krishna. It's all necessary and important and helpful towards our objective, our objective, or goal of every devotee is Krishna prema. So Krishna prema includes all these things. It includes Srishti tattva and Kala tattva and Karma tattva and Jiva tattva and Bhagavat tattva. But it also includes Prima tattva and Rasa tattva and Leela tattva and all these things. So the composite together makes the strong devotee. It's called the Uttamadhikari. He has very strong faith and very deep knowledge. Whether or not he's a Shuddha Bhakta, that's another thing. That's another stratification of devotees. The Uttam Mahabhagavat, the Uttam Bhakta, is different from the Uttam Adhikari. Adhikari means qualification. What do you have? What do you know? What have you learned? And that's described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we said the other day. The devotees can be classified in three ways according to their Adhikara, what they know, what they realize. The lowest one, the middle one, and the highest one. Kanishtha doesn't know much, but has some faith. And he can easily lose that faith and become a Buddhist or go away or bloop or whatever. It's called Kanishtha Adhikari. His Kanishtha means Kanishtha, with no steadiness, no nishtha, no conviction. Kanishtha. So he maybe, if he's a good Kanishtha, if he's really a good Kanishtha, he can see the Krishnas and the deity. But even most beginners or Kanishtas can't see that either. And so they regularly make so many seva aparadhas and deity aparadhas because they don't really see and feel, and most importantly, realize that the murti that I'm worshipping or the pictures of deity is the absolute truth, such as Ananda Vigarasri Krishna. That's the Kanishtha Adhikari. Then the Madhyam Adhikari, he has strong faith and good knowledge, but not that great. But his faith is good. So he's more advanced. And then the Uttam Adhikari, this doesn't mean bhava or prema or nishtha. Sometimes devotees try to make equations or connections like that, but our acharyas don't do that. So that would be our own idea, not founded on previous Praman. So the Adhikari, the Uttam Adhikari, he has very strong and deep knowledge and has all his doubts are basically removed, and he can even remove the doubts of others and help them. He's the Uttam Adhikari. He may not be a Bhava Bhakta, he may not be a Premi Bhakta, he may not be on the platform of a Sakti, he may not be on the platform of, he may be on the platform of Nishtha. Ruchi or Nishtha, but Nishtha, they make things, but in other words, he's Uttam Adhikari, that means he's at top, so people know, he's Uttam Adhikari, that means he's 100% pure devotee, he's a liberated soul. No, an Uttam Adhikari doesn't mean a liberated soul, doesn't mean a pure devotee, according to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Rupa Goswami Pada. And then we have other designations that the Kanishtha, he should serve those above him, and that's all. Then the Madhyam associates with like-minded, and he preaches to those that are that need to be uplifted, and he avoids the demons. Well, there's four distinctions. Then the Uttam Adhikari. So this is based on how much faith and knowledge they have. So the Madhyam Adhikari, because his knowledge and faith is not so much, then he's requested or advised. He makes four distinctions. So the demons and anti-party, he avoids them. And then the humble and submissive, he preaches to them like this. He avoids the demons. But the Uttam Adhikari has so much faith and so much knowledge. Doesn't mean he's a pure devotee, but he has so much strong faith and knowledge that he can never be swayed or distracted or broken in his faith or convinced otherwise that Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He absolutely and fully believes it. And because of his strong faith and strong grounding and fixity and devotional tattvas, he can even preach. He doesn't have to make those distinctions. He can preach to anyone and not be affected. That's Uttamakari, Uttamadikari. And then Mahabhagavat, that's another category, the great devotees. So this is the Anukulya Nayak. He never has a bad mood. So I read the example Anukul, and I was reading Drishta. Drishta is a Sasi. I already read the definition. So I said the Drishta Nayak, then about the 5-8 different gopis all around Krishna. That's the Drishta Nayak. That's the Dakshin. Now this is the Drishta. I got out of sequence. So this is Drishta, which means Sasi. So the example is here. Because it doesn't tell any purport and doesn't tell who's speaking, so you have to try to figure it out. So even, listen to this. So when Krishna, as I mentioned, the example of Krishna being a Dakshin hero is when he loves all the gopis. That's a Dakshin. He has affection for all the women. So the example Kavi Karnapur gave was, at one time, in one place, Krishna was being served and loved by 8 different sakis, combing his hair and giving him betel nuts and embracing him from both sides and providing a pillow for their thigh for his pillow and massaging his feet, holding their feet in their lap. He was really in the ultra, ultra enjoying mood. So that's Dakshin. So Kavikar Karnapura follows that by 586 by saying, even though Krishna is Dakshin like that, has affection for all, depending on the pastimes, he then becomes Drishta or Sasi. So this is an example of Krishna being a Drishta Nayak, a Sasi or impertinent, a Nayak. That he's prone to commit offenses and doesn't worry about it. Padmasakhi returns to Chandravali to report to her what she just saw. Hey, Sakhi, Chandravali, you should have seen how Krishna was so speaking so trickily. It says trickily. I would say a different word, but just see how Krishna was speaking so deviously to Radharani. And then Chandravali said, yes, tell me more. When he was standing in front of Radharani, Krishna shrunk away as if he had committed a wrong. And although the Sakis, Lalita Vishakhi, they were all standing around and chastising him and rebuking him, and even though Radharani took the flower off her ear and started beating Krishna with her flower, he laughed and laughed without any fear at all. So he continued to speak in a devious way, and he was acting a little bit sheepishly, as if he was guilty, but he would never ever admit it that he was guilty and with another sakhi. And they were rebuking him. Radharani was beating him with their words. The sakhis were rebuking him and chastising him. You disloyal, unchaste, you unfaithful, bogus person with all your bogus alibis and excuses. And Radharani said, yes, that's right. And then boom, 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 she's beating with a flower. That's a terrible punishment. Can you imagine? Somebody's beating you on the head with a lily. Jeez, how could you survive? Dakshin Nayak Sri Krishna Ki Jai. So that's the example he gives. And I read it and I said, we just have to share it, as they say, as an addendum to our discussion on these 4 types of heroes. Anukul, Dakshin, Shakta. And then that was the Drishta, now the Shatta. So in that way, and then Kavi Karnapur goes on, verse 587. So Krishna's like that, but sometimes he's Shatta. Shatta means sly. sly, deceitful. He speaks sweet words, even though he's secretly attached to another gopi. Very sly character. He acts very nicely before his beloved. He's what they call the sweet talker. He's expert. Vishnu Chakravarti, he defines this in one tika. He says, the Shatanayak is expert at speaking. He's an expert word juggler. He's an expert at speaking in order to cheat and enjoy a woman. Don't you just love him? To cheat and enjoy a woman. Everyone's going, it's very bad. This is the Shakta, sly, deceitful hero, Krishna. So he speaks very nice when he comes before the beloved and meets her, but behind her back, he conceals his offense and he's extremely, completely disloyal. Shakta is mentioned here in this part, and we can read that. 583, 41. This is a very interesting example he gives of the Shatanayak. This is 587 in Alankar Kaustubha. Chandravali and Radha were sitting in their various kunjas with their respective sakis. So Radharani was in her kunja with her sakis, and Chandravali was in her separate kunja with her sakis. Hari was coming from a distance, and then he saw in these two kunjas, and one kunja, in one kunja was Chandravali and Padma and Shaiva and all her sakis and confidants. And he saw in another kunja was Radharani and Lalita Vishaka and Rupa and Rati Tulsi Manjari. So he saw these two groups of sakis. This is the Shatta, sly, deceitful Nayak. So now what's he going to do? Taking his flute from his waist, he started playing a certain raga to induce Chandravali to go far away to meet him in another kunj. So when he was approaching the two sakis, they were both in the Vasant Ritu Van. Chandravali and Radharani, they were both in separate kunjas in one spring season forest. So then Krishna played a Sharad Ritu Raga. Maybe it's called Malara Rag. So when he played that rag in his flute, and he mixed Chandravali's name in it, and it was a particular type of raga which is played during Sharad Ritu or the fall season. So the message that Chandravali got, although she was right near Radharani, Krishna was saying, you should go and meet me in the Sharad Ritu Van, in the kunja, in the forest of the autumn forest. So then Chandravali is very excited, and she immediately left her place in the spring season forest, and she left that kunja, which was very near Radharani's. So just see the Shatanayak in action. How sly he is. How clever. And this flute is his compliant, his conspirator in this crime. And so now he's disposed Chandravali center far away. So now what does the Shatanayak do next? And only Chandravali knew what he was saying. So then with great zest and excitement, Krishna ran to the pleasure grove where Radharani was waiting. May Krishna protect you all. He says, Sanketam Tarasa Rasada Visaran Radham Hari Patuva. Hari Patuva. There's a verse like that in Radharasunidhi where we say, Radha Patuva. When will Radharani protect me? Radharani is my protector. So Tarasa, Sanketam Tarasa Rasad Abhisaran Radham Hari Patuva. Very beautiful Sanskrit of Kavi Karnapur. Sanketam Tarasa Rasad Abhisaran Radham Hari Patuva. What does it mean in English? After he sent Chandravali far away so she couldn't hear him or see him or smell him or feel him, she was too far out of radiance, out of her radar range. So then he ran, Tarasa, he ran to the meeting place where Radharani was, with great ecstasy on his love journey to Radha. Avisara Radham Haripatu Va. May that Hari, that clever Shatta, sly hero, Krishna, always protect you. Hari Patuva. Of course, again, we see the word Hari, because so Hari is so dear and near to Radharani. So all of our writers, they always use this word Hari so many places. So this is a nice example of this. And I think in the Gita Govinda, Sri Jayadeva Goswami, he also gives an example of all these moods. And let's look at that verse, all these heroic features. So this is Act 1, verse 46 of Gita Govinda. And here, Krishna assumes, in this verse, you'll hear how Krishna assumes many different forms to enjoy varieties of romantic activities. Simultaneously with all the gopi nayakas, or heroines, who are very intent on sporting with Krishna. So it says that the commentators on this verse, they say that in this shloka, Act 1, text 46, Krishna shows himself as the Shatta, Drishta, Dakshin, and Durta heroes. And Durta is not, doesn't, it's the same as Drishta, basically. Shlish yati kam api chambati kam api kam api ramayati ramam pashyati sasmita charataram aprana nagachi vamam nagachati vamam shlish yati kam api chambati kam api kam api ramayati ramam pashyati sasmita charataram aprana nagachati vamam. Very beautiful Gita Govinda. Impelled by his intense craving for Sringar Ras, intimate love, Krishna is embracing one of his beloved gopis. He's kissing another Sakhi, and somewhere else he's enjoying passionate intimacies with another. Elsewhere, Krishna gazes expectantly at the face of another gopi lover, while appreciating the nectar of her sweet smile. Somewhere else, Krishna is following a lady love who has ran away from him in a love sulk of Maan. So he's showing all in one in this verse. He's showing the Anukul and the Drishta and the Dakshin and the Shatta. So this is a little bit of review. Again, we start the next verse, just to step into it. From Vishnu Nilamani, verse 42 and 43. The pati and upapati, the married and unmarried lovers, they, by having divisions of perfect, more perfect, and most perfect in the four types of heroes that we explained, 24, and there's four types, starting with Anukul, produces 96 forms. Okay, so what's being said here? I said earlier and several times that this chapter, which will conclude with this verse, chapter 1 will finish with this verse, and the whole first chapter is describing the Vibhav Alamban. Vibhav Alamban, Prem Vishai. The one who we offer our love to, the Vishai, the object, the goal of our love. And the foundation of the loving relation, the foundation of all the loving relationships in Krishna. The lover of everyone, the lover of every devotee is Krishna. And the object of every devotee's love is Krishna. So he's the Alamban, the foundation, the beginning of the Vibhav. The Vibhav means that the excitants, the exciting factors which excite the lover and beloved to relish their association. So first of all, this verse 42 and 43, Rupa Goswami, he's summarizing everything and saying, if you add all these things I told you in chapter 1, from verse 1 to 41, you'll see that I describe Krishna as displaying 96 type of heroic features. So how does it work? So first of all, we have the four basic heroic personalities than Krishna. So the Dhiradatta, we have, Dhiradatta, Dhiradatta, Dhiralita, and Dhiraprashant. So that's four. Then each of those four can be either Anukul, Drishta, Shatta, and Dakshin. Anukul, Dakshin, Drishta, and Shatta. So that's 4 times 4, that's 16. So then 16, so 16 heroic features Krishna has as a married lover in Mathura and Dwarka as the husband, the king of Rukmini. And then he has 16, that's 32. 16 in Vrindavan, types of heroic features, and 16 in Dwarka. And then, now that's 16, 4 times 4 is 16, times Pati and Upapati means 32. Then there's Purna, Purnatara, Purnatam. So Krishna has three different features, Purna, Purnatara, Purnatam. So then those three times the 32 makes 96. So that's how it becomes 96 varieties of heroes.